O God, who of all thy saints didst choose blessed Joachim to be father to the mother of thy son, grant, we beseech thee, that we who keep his feast day may ever experience his patronage, through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You know, we can learn an awful lot of things by reading the lives of the saints. Do you take the time each day to read about the saints? Well, each one has a different lesson to teach us, if only we are willing to take the time to study them. One of the more well-known is the story of Saint Joachim, today's saint. You heard already much about it in the sermon on the feast of his spouse, Saint Anne, on July 26th. That Sunday we learned the lesson of praying with trust, if I remember correctly anyway. But today I want to give a different thought for this feast of Saint Joachim. But first, a recap. Saints Joachim and Anne were, of course, the parents of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And they were known for their practice of the greatest charity. In fact, they divided all of their possessions into three parts. The first part was always for God. Everything was given to God exclusively, and also for the adornment of the temple of God. The second part of their possessions was given to the poor, and only the third and last part was kept for their own sustenance. They were very virtuous, of course, but there was one thing that troubled them. They had been married for many years and were not blessed with children. And now that they were quite old, they pretty much despaired of ever having a child. Barrenness, if you remember from July 26th, barrenness, or not having children, was among the people of their time, was thought to be a curse from heaven. They were looked at as cursed by God. Think of it. It was a total disgrace upon the couple. And remember how Saint Joachim was treated simply for not having children. He was, when he brought his sacrifice to the temple, the priest utterly rejected it. And poor Saint Joachim had to bear this cross for many years. And he begged God with tears and with prayers and with fastings that he might take it away. And God seemingly never listened to the prayer. And still, Saint Joachim continued. And even though he suffered a lot of grief, the one thing that our saint would never do was murmur against God. Well, he knew better than to ever do that, because he knew that whatever God planned was much better for him than anything he himself could plan for his life. So what if he were looked down upon by the people of his time? So what if the priests refused his sacrifice? So what if his prayer was never heard? Not a single complaint against God ever escaped the lips of Saint Joachim. Funny, though, isn't it? The saints who suffered so much more than you or I ever will in our entire lifetime, and they never complained. Yet how readily, how easily we murmur over the slightest little thing that goes wrong, that goes against our plans. And it's funny, too, how we naturally expect life to just flow smoothly, that life should feature an unbroken chain of green lights and of empty parking places just in front of our destination, that every day should be filled with sunshine. There should never be a cloud in the sky or a drop of rain falling from the clouds. And the children, well, they ought to be perfectly behaved so as to spare us any sort of embarrassment or inconvenience, even the least. But we have to remember, even those red lights and the full parking lots and the grumpy children and the cloudy days, they all have their purpose in the plan of God. For God knows best. Who are we to murmur? Because when we murmur and complain, we are essentially complaining about God's providence. We'll never say it, but it's sort of implicit there that we think ourselves wiser than God. Murmuring is, one man said, music to the devil's ears. It's sort of like Bach or Beethoven, any of the composers that make beautiful music and that you enjoy listening to. Well, murmuring is that for the devil. What is murmuring exactly? Well, the precise definition of murmuring in moral theology is this: the expression of unjust discontent or complaint by inarticulate sounds or by secret words. So, for example, the child who is told by his parents to do something lets out a groan or a sigh. Or something happens and quietly we say under our breath, oh, what, how stupid a thing that is. That happens a lot. But not all complaints are wrong. So today we're not going to speak about murmuring in a precise sense, but in a general sense, a broad sense, murmuring meaning any sort of complaint, whether externally voiced by words or by signs, or just kept internally. As I said, not all complaints are wrong. Remember that our Lord uttered a complaint from the cross: I thirst. Our Heavenly Father often complained about the conduct of sinners. He did that through the mouth of the prophets in the Old Testament. But none of those complaints were unjust. They were totally justified. However, the majority of our complaints are not justifiable. The child who complains or groans when a parent tells them to do something, the impatient, "This is so stupid," comment that we so often whisper to ourselves when we're told to do something we don't want to do. All those sorts of things. And sometimes, though, even when there is a justifiable reason for complaining, we can still sin. For example, when we really are treated unjustly by our employer, we have a right to complain. We have a legitimate reason to make a complaint to him. But our complaining, if it is done angrily or with contempt, becomes sinful. Now, it isn't wrong. I think everyone should learn this. It is not wrong to speak about one's own crosses to another. A friend, for example, a close friend, or a priest, or a spouse, someone like that. Oftentimes, we actually have to do this to get some clear perspective on our cross so that we can deal with it properly and more virtuously. When we're in the midst of suffering, oftentimes, our vision is clouded. There's an obstacle. We don't see things clearly, and so we must go to another for help. And from time to time, when something is weighing heavily upon us, it helps to talk about our trouble. This we call venting. That is not always a sin either, if it is done with the purpose of relieving some suffering or of bringing your cross into proper perspective. But, as the Catechism explains, says, a medium must be observed. We mustn't lament over trifles, oh, the mosquito bite, or it's a little bit humid today, those sorts of things. We should not let our complaining be prolonged or exaggerated. We often have a tendency to exaggerate our crosses. More often than not, that is what we do. And to have prolonged conversations about how bad a day we have had. To do so, the Catechism tells us, shows a bit of selfishness and cowardice. St. Francis de Sales, though, perhaps one of the greatest spiritual directors of all times, he said, "The truly patient man neither complains of his hard lot nor desires to be pitied by others. He speaks of his sufferings in a natural, true, and sincere way, without murmuring, complaining, or exaggerating them." He says elsewhere, "Complain as little as possible of your wrongs. For as a general rule, you may be sure that complaining is a sin. Self-love always magnifies our injuries. Above all," he says, "do not complain to people who are easily angered or excited. If it is needful to complain to someone, either as seeking a remedy for your injury or in order to soothe your mind, let it be to some calm, gentle spirit, greatly filled with the love of God. For otherwise," he continues, "instead of relieving your heart, your confidant will only provoke it to still greater disturbance. Instead of taking out the thorn which pricks you, they will drive it further into your foot." How true that is. Choose your confidants wisely. This balance, though, this medium, is very difficult to find and hard to practice for most of us, because one complaint leads to another and then to another, and before we know it, we become chronic complainers. And we, in the end, we can never make peace with the crosses that God sends us. Do you know why that is? I was thinking about it a little bit this morning. It's because we took our complaint to another person before we ever took it to God. Others, they may be able to offer a consoling word or give sound advice on a matter, but being strong enough to carry our burden without unjust complaint and murmuring requires more than just advice and consoling words. It requires grace. And grace is something which only God can provide you. The Catechism says, "Complain to God as long and as loudly as you will, for your complaints are not an appeal to Him for help, are an appeal to Him for help." Don't murmur, don't grumble at Him, but complain to Him. In other words, we should calmly and trustingly take our complaint to Him, because after all, He invited us to do so. "Come unto Me, all you that labor and are burdened, and I will refresh you." Here's a good rule of thumb. 10 minutes praying when you're agitated is better than 10 minutes complaining. To gaze upon a crucifix for those 10 minutes, reflecting upon the sufferings of our Lord, has a way of putting everything in its proper light. And there is no problem at all that a decade of the Rosary said while meditating on the mysteries of our Lord's life will not relieve. You just have to remember in that moment of agitation to pull out the beads, to look at the crucifix. Your guardian angel will remind you if you ask him to. And our prayer before the crucifix or in the Rosary, for it to be best, should not be that we may influence God to do our will, but we pray it so that we may have the strength to submit our will to His. And that is the secret of the saints, one which we too often forget. So, for this 1 week, just 1 week, 7 days, it's not very long when you think about it, for this 1 week, enough with the complaining about what God sends to us. Take it to God in humble prayer and accept it all with humble submission to His will. After all, we're no wiser than God. He is infinite wisdom. This, I think, is the one lesson that we can learn from Our Lady's father, Saint Joachim. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.